a confession. Acts 10 is not the lectionary text for this week. As Pastor Dave pointed out to me when I came prepared to speak about how my sermon preparation was coming this week on Tuesday in staff meeting, I had read the calendar wrong. No wonder the scripture text sounded so different when I read it before vacation. So I confess to mixing the text today. But this sermon was already working on me by Tuesday, and I decided to stay with it after being reassured that it was not the exact text that Dave preached last week. Will you pray with me? Silence, O God, any voice in us but your own, that in hearing your word we may find ways to live in you as you alone intend. In Christ we pray. Amen. One of the great things for me about being on vacation is the chance to worship in some other churches and see what they are about in these days. And this Christmas, when I took two Sundays off to try to assist with my parents as they ready to move, I had the chance to worship at two very different Presbyterian churches. The first I attended was a big one with an abundance of outreach programming evident, mission trips to Haiti twice a year, great music that morning Sunday provided by their choir that tours to lead worship in nursing homes, in the mission field, and a variety of community venues. There were about 350 people in worship after that Sunday, the day after Christmas, and yet many people were apologizing to me by how few were in worship. The choir and most of the young, diverse faces were in the congregation, were most of the diverse and young faces in that congregation, under about 40. So it was kind of nice for one week to be young again in a church. The second church, the second Sunday, identified itself as welcoming in spirit, progressive in theology. For them, the ordination of gays and lesbians was a resolved issue, and they were quite evident in leadership there that morning. The pastor preaching his Epiphany sermon challenged the congregation to notice where new light needed to shine and to live into the mystery of how God would sort all of that out. You'll hear more about that as the sermon evolves. But I think it's something similar to the text that we encounter this day. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. The passage we read this morning in Acts is a passage about faith and about being open to the Spirit in unexpected ways. The Spirit of God surprises. The Spirit of God calling us to risk, to put God first, and to do what is right. It's a good one to be pondering this early in the new year. Peter, you will remember, was the apostle to the Jews, and yet here in Acts 10, we read that Peter is being stretched and being given a new vision and the resources to move in new directions, to rethink what is clean and what is unclean as he ponders the vision which has been given to him earlier in this chapter. When we think of the early apostles, we think of Paul as the apostle to the Gentiles and Peter the apostle to the Jews. Yet here, early in Acts, in the early church, we see a different picture of Peter. It's been a challenge for Peter to come to this point. We hear the middle of the story in this particular passage, that Peter is moving in his own understanding of who shall be reached through Jesus Christ. Paul has not even begun his ministry to the Gentiles. It is Peter who first comes to that point. And he comes, letting go of his own preconceived ideas of who is in and who is out. He lets go with difficulty, but with an openness to the working of God's Spirit that we can learn from. What we are talking about here is what it means to have faith, or more accurately, to be faithful, to act in faith, to listen for the voice of God and to hear the voices of those around us. For faith is more than knowing that God is something. It is knowing that God does something. God works through and in people. God is active in our world and in our lives through the work of the Spirit, and it is risky and risking stuff. The pastor in church number 2 of my vacation asked the question, how is God's Spirit leading us to be more inclusive today? What voices are we not taking time to hear? What might it mean to take this Peter step that we see in our text today, grounded in our Lord Jesus Christ? The new challenging arena that pastor in my vacation lifted up was the interfaith arena. In the multi-faith and multicultural arena in which we live in these days, how do we relate to people in our world whose faith experiences, whose belief in what God is calling them to do and to be are so different from our own? In relationship with Jews, Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, non-Christians, as we claim Christ as Lord and Savior for all the world. The playgroup study has been wrestling with this, in between wrestling with our children on Friday mornings, as we read together Oil and Water and learn about Islam. How can we be one in communities of trust and respect when we passionately believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life? And what is the right thing to do out of our faith? The Camp Street crew yesterday, as we were working in the food pantry, had a little preview of the sermon, and they said, so you're going to tell us what we're supposed to do, right? Wrong. We're going to wrestle with it together in listening. In this passage, Peter shows us what it means to be actively faithful. It is to be open to the movement of the Spirit in unexpected ways. And there are 3 ways that I want to focus on that openness this morning. First, Peter prays for God's guidance. Secondly, he does not allow his own traditional sense of the order of things to prevent a new ministry to begin, or to see things in a new light, or to undertake perhaps a new path. Finally, he is obedient to God's voice, which he has heard in prayer. Though if you read Acts 10, you will find that the Lord had to speak 3 times before Peter was ready. We don't always get the message the first time, but we need never fear, because God is persistent well beyond our abilities to ignore God's call. God will try to reach us from many different angles. First Peter was tuned into God and sought God in prayer. It's why he was up on the rooftop in the first place as we begin reading this chapter. Life had been very busy and successful for Peter. He was healing and ministering all over the place, but still he made time in his life to pray. Prayer was at the heart of Martin Luther King's ministry, as we remember him this weekend as well. It led him to accept the challenge to lead a people into civil rights, into territory of challenge that he had not anticipated when he was first tapped for leadership in the Montgomery bus boycott out of his local pastorate to Dexter Avenue Baptist Church. Activists formed the Montgomery Improvement Association to boycott the transit system and chose King as their leader after the Rosa Parks incident. I like the words of one biographer of King. He had the advantage of being a young, well-trained man who was too new in town to have made enemies. He was generally respected, and it was thought that his family connections and professional standing would enable him to find another pastorate should the boycott fail. The second element of Peter's openness to God's leading is found in his willingness to set aside some of his traditional understanding of the law. In doing so, he receives a new understanding given by God in that vision, He does not abandon the tradition, for Peter continues after this time to minister to the Jewish Christian community, to lead in that. Yet in this story, he's able to step outside the boundary to recognize a wider world, to struggle with that, a world that God cares deeply about and wants to save and include in community. It is hard to read the newspapers in these days. We've prayed about some of the reasons why: senseless shootings in Arizona, violence in elections and post-elections in many places of our world, flooding and natural disaster and the recovery from that. The prophet Isaiah felt similarly in the text that we read today. It is hard. Closer at home, it's difficult to see the suffering around us, those struggling with long-term unemployment, addictions, issues, and complicated lives that defy simple solutions. Maybe in your own life, the personal overwhelms at times. Maybe that's why we like snow days so much. We have the chance to close it all off, to get to know our neighbors in a new way as we set out on the street, and to concentrate for a short time just on snow shoveling, something very close at hand, but only for a little while. But Peter gives us a different kind of model of response. We know that Peter already had his hands full very busily in ministry and bringing the message of Jesus Christ to the Jewish people. Why would he want to reach out to the Gentiles as well? What Peter finds when he begins to speak is a new understanding of Jesus Christ, that Christ is there for all who seek him. And into this new understanding comes the Holy Spirit, empowering Peter to baptize and stay with the people for several days. Peter hears here the call to change, to stretch and move in some new directions and to see the world in a broader way. And finally, in faithfulness, Peter is obedient to God's call that he bring the message of hope, of salvation, to the household of Cornelius. As Glenn told us, this is Peter's speech to Cornelius's household. Grounded in Jesus Christ, Peter is able to act upon his faith. And faith is properly rooted in action. Faith needs a language, and that language is love. And Peter reaches out and enlarges the community of caring. Maybe God is prompting you in this new year to respond in a new arena in these days, to a new person, to a new direction, even in a deepening commitment or openness to hear another perspective that you haven't considered before, to be challenged to reach out and hear a different voice. Faith then is an act of obedience which calls us to engage and wrestle, to respond to our world. And Peter does that in this passage of Acts. Prayer, a willingness to change and have our horizons broadened, and an obedience to lead to the lead of God in Christ. This is the message that Luke brings to us in this passage of Acts, which expands the ministry and mission to all the world. Peter reminds the people that Jesus commanded us to preach and to testify, to do what is right in God's sight, and to leave those results to God. In the early 1870s, Horatio Spafford was a wealthy Chicago lawyer and friend of revivalist Dwight L. Moody, very active in the Crusades of that evangelistic time. In the 1871 Chicago fire, he lost much of his fortune. And in the 1873 financial panic, he lost most of what was left. His wife became ill, and his family physician suggested that an ocean trip away might be helpful to them, and she set sail with their children. At the last moment, he was unable to set sail with the family because of his business, and the ship collided with another in the middle of the ocean and sank within 15 minutes. He received a wire from his wife in France which read, "Saved alone, children lost. What shall I do?" After hearing his wife's message of the loss of their children, Horatio Spafford set sail immediately to be with his wife, but it took time. After 6 days at sea, the captain notified Spafford that they were at that very moment passing over the place where his four daughters were drowned. After standing in silence on the deck, he went below deck to write the words of our middle hymn that we sang this morning, "It is well with my soul." The journey is not easy, my friends. It can take a long, long time. And we didn't even sing all of the verses of the hymn. What new ways is God calling you to risk in faith in these days? May you be a risker in faith, as faith shall be sight here and in all the world. Amen.